Nezabai was one of the main instruments, or the main instruments, for Serve Africa, which took Bubba's message to every country in Africa. And then he went on to create the Future of Power Project. So I had the great fortune to work with the Future of Power Project for 4 years. And this took, this brought together leaders throughout India. I think 60 cities in India, Nezabai? 60 about?
Yeah, we've completed 66 now.
Yeah, 60 in India, and then some in America, 3 in Australia, some in Nepal, and it's still going on. But what's also very unique is we've got very few big business people that are really pucker and involved at this level in Bubba's service. And I think when we're running Future of Power, Nezabai was the chairman of 84 companies. He was the managing director of the Aga Khan Foundation. You know the Aga Khan, the one Bubba says he's weighed in diamonds. And so the topic today is practical spirituality. So how do you do all of that and still get up for Amrit Vela, remember Bubba, follow the disciplines, and especially please mention your little chart. He keeps a chart. How many of you keep a chart every day? Nezabai keeps a chart, which I think is a great inspiration to all of us. So, Nezabai.
Thank you. Moni is being very kind. Good morning. Om Shanti. Nice to be here in Madhuban, in our home. I just want to give you a bit of knowledge, bit of information, that I passed via Mumbai on the way here, and I was able to meet with Dadi Gulzar, and she's in a very good state. She was reading Murli when I got there. She's got these big pages like that with the letters quite large. But she was reading it unaided. It was not somebody else reading. She was reading it. And she recognized me. She recognizes people. She acknowledges. She gives toli. She talks with you, but by nodding or expression rather than words. She did say a couple of words, but I couldn't understand, and Nilu had to translate them for me. Nilu understands. So anyway, I was delighted to meet with her and to know that she's well. Her immune system had gone down to zero. And so in that state, you know, she could not meet people without knowing, you know, if they've got a cough or they've got whatever, because it's very dangerous. But I think now her immune system is slowly going up. But I don't think that in the foreseeable future she's going to be able to travel and be amongst lots of people. But I think the important thing is for us to know that she's well, she's fully there, she's communicating. And, you know, because I'm hearing lots of things about her, and they're all not true. I saw her 2 days ago, and she's fine, and she's lovely, and she is so sweet. And so you will all be happy to know. I also don't think that you will not be allowed, if you wanted to go and see her. If you are transiting out of Mumbai, just give Nilu Ben a call. And there are times when she sees people. She does not see usually outside people, only known BKs. So if you call Nilu, she normally sees people at after 7 to 8, something like that, and also at lunchtime, around just before lunch. So That was a bit of news I thought you might be interested in. Practical spirituality. I think that Moni thought, because I'm a businessman, I ought to be practical. And by and large, I think she's right. Because I have a planning intellect, so whatever I do, I plan ahead, and I think about it. And when I came to Gyan, which was now 20, this is my 27th year, it took me 2 to 3 years. I'm not quite sure how long, but between 2 and 3 years before I could say that I'm a Brahmin. I had lots and lots of questions. I had talks with so many people, and all the daddies and the dadas, and I think every time they saw me coming, they thought, uh-oh, more questions. But I wanted to be absolutely sure, because I liked the gyan, I liked the knowledge a lot. But I wanted to see if practically it was feasible for me to adopt, because it sounded quite hard in those days. And my teacher, some of you may know her, was called Nikki. You may know she was in Vancouver in those days. She was spending time in London at that time, not Vancouver, London. And then she came to Africa. And one day I heard myself tell my driver to drive into the new Nairobi Center. I don't know if any of you have seen them in pictures, but it's very beautiful. It's got a lotus, a building in which there is, in the lotus, there is a Baba's room. But from the outside, it looks really beautiful. And I remember thinking how nice that was. And one day I just told my driver to drive in there. And then when I went in there, I didn't even know if this was physical yoga, what kind of yoga. Somebody came out and said, do you want to do the course? And I said, yes. I didn't know what the course was. I just heard myself saying yes. And they asked me if it were, wanted to do it in English or Hindi, and that Nikki came. Anyway, so I did the first two lessons, and after that, I thought, that was not really exciting. So, I abandoned it. And then they were trying to get hold of me. Nikki was phoning me, but my secretary wouldn't let her through. And one day she called me at home on a Sunday and said, I thought you business people finished something before you decided whether you were going to continue or not. You just took 2 lessons and then stopped. So I thought, I suppose it makes sense. So I said, okay, as a favor, I will give you 1 more hour. Because in those days, you know, I thought I was really important and my ego was huge. I'll always say it was bigger than the whole of Africa. And it was. And so I said to her, okay, as a favor, I will give you 1 more hour. So I went to the center, and Nikki had put all the remaining 5 lessons into one. Lot of yoga done, and she gave it to me. And it really hit me hard. I took in every word of that. And for 50, 40 years, I was searching for answers for some of these questions, And she just gave it to me in that 1 hour, all the answers I was ever looking for. And then I had more questions. I wanted to know about this and that and this. And she told me, excuse me, but your hour is up. But I said, I'm giving you time. It's okay, you can continue. No, she said, I'm busy. You come another day. Because she had me running then. So, I finished all the lessons, and then she asked me, I went to see then Daddy Janki, but that's another story. I came here after that to Madhuban. And in Panda Bhavan, I heard the Murli. This was in 1992. And I'd come to look because Nikki was really forcing me that you have to go. She first sent me to Daddy Janki in London and then to Madhuban. So I was like here under duress. And I came here and I heard the Murli and I loved the knowledge, but I thought that lady with God in her was like, that was rubbish. And particularly, you had the little Mohini. You know Mohini Ben? Little Mohini. She was standing next to Baba with her hands in her pockets. I thought, there's no respect. Nobody's bowing to him. He's supposed to be God. All rubbish. But I love the knowledge. And you know, in those days, after the Murli, Baba met a group of 50, 70 people. They came in front of Baba, and Baba talked to that group. And I was in group number 5. It was November the 5th, 1992. And Baba was giving drishti to everybody and asking, have you come here to look around or have you come here to die? And I was thinking in my mind, yeah, look around. And he asked that 2 or 3 times. Have you come here to look around or to die? And each time I was thinking, yeah, I've come to look around. And then he said, hey, you have not come here because the instrument teacher forced you, have you? Then I was a little bit alert. I thought, yeah, that's why I'm here, because the instrument teacher forced me to come here. He said, you haven't been fooled, have you? When you have made such a bargain with God Himself, trust your intellect that what you are doing is right. Because Baba has got this guldasta, this bunch of flowers, bouquet of flowers, from all over the world. He's brought them all together. And here, you will become one of family. Out there, you will become a follower. So that was my first experience with our Baba. How he made me believe that this was not rubbish, that this was something that I had to think about. But even after that, I took 2 to 3 years to say that I was a Brahmin. I was a BK, because quite a lot of us have to go through lots of change. Because I always say that I was the most unlikely Brahmin. I was doing everything contrary to what a Brahmin should do. If you think about anything, drinking, smoking, non-vegetarian food, partying, drugs, whatever you think about. So I had a lot. Once I decided that this was what I needed to work towards, then I started with that planning intellect. I started with red meat and then white meat and then shellfish and then fish and finally caviar and eggs. And then alcohol and then smoking and then all the other things. And by the way, my teacher Nikki took 6 or 8 months before one day, incidentally in Vancouver, she told me, by the way, we don't eat onions and garlic, and we are celibate. In that one sentence. I promise you, that's how she said it. She said, we don't eat onion and garlic, and we are celibate. And it took me about 30 seconds to adopt that, you know, to imbibe what she had just said, was that we are celibate. So that all had to then eventually come into the planning. And lots of things I didn't understand, because practically, Baba talks in Muli a lot about Krishna and about so many other things that originate in the Hindu religion, of which I have no background, because I come from a Muslim background. So I remember I bought these, it's called Kalani Chetra, and they are comics, not comics exactly, but like comic books, and they relate lots and lots of stories about Hinduism. You know, you can read there about Savitri and about... Every book has a story. And I got 65 of these books. And I read through them so that I could understand the Hindu religion, so that I could understand why Baba kept on saying Krishna is not God. Because what they believe and how strongly they believe, and how important it was for them. Because when I now give Gyan to Hindus, I have to be very sensitive that I just don't blurt out and say, well, Hindu is not God, Krishna is not God. Because for them it's very important, so we have to be very careful in how we say that. And lots of other things that I had to learn from that. So, slowly I got to then learn about what Baba was saying in the Murlis, to understand Murlis. Baba, for example, very often says that this knowledge is very entertaining. And I kept on saying, what is entertaining? You know, couldn't understand which part of the knowledge was entertaining. But you know, until you go deeper and understand the knowledge more and more and more, before you realize, yes, how entertaining it really is, because everything is perfect, everything, the drama is perfect, how everything repeats perfectly, how everything that happens is right, and lot of entertaining stuff. So it took me 2 or 3 years before, and I tested God so many times. And He also used to do deals with me. So many deals that he did with me in the beginning. And I will not tell you all the details of them, but they were quite exciting. He was constantly proving Himself to me. And I was constantly trying out to make sure that He's still God. I'll give you one very simple example. I was going When I was in Vancouver, we were looking for a center there with Nikki and there was a couple of other sisters there. And one of them was Christine. Christine is French, from France, but she now lives in Montreal. And we were using her apartment as a center while we were looking for a new one. And she was offering Borg at 4 o'clock in the morning. But that Borg was just boiled potatoes and carrots and kale and very basic stuff. And quite often we used to eat that lunchtime. And I was staying in the Four Seasons in downtown. So I used to drive all the way down here. And I kept asking for that food because I was saying she cooks so fantastically. And they asked me, do you remember what it is that she cooked? I didn't remember that, but I remembered how good the food was. And it was, they reminded me, just potatoes and kale and carrots and stuff. But she was offering Borg at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I was experiencing all of those things. And at the same time, one day I was supposed to pick her up at Amritwela and go to another center where we were going to hold class. It wasn't a center, but it was a hall. But I didn't know where it was. So we had agreed that I would pick her up and then she would show me where that new place was where we were going to have Amritwela. She forgot that she had to wait for me. I went to her apartment. And she wasn't there. She had already gone to the new place. So then I said to Baba, okay, you are so clever. I don't know where that center is. Find it. So I was just driving aimlessly up and down any streets. Her intellect is touched. She was on the 7th floor. She comes down the lift. There are French doors, and as she comes out of those glass doors, I'm driving past. What are the chances of that happening? And I'm just giving you one example. There were lots and lots of others like that. So I finally completed my knowledge, my gyan, and then I said one day that I am a BK. I'm a Brahmin, and I never, after that, took a step back. But it did take me that long. I went through lots and lots of times when I thought, what am I doing here? Because I had very little in common with lots of people that were there. But when it is our fortune, and every one of us are fortunate, whatever we try not to come here, we are going to end up here. Right? Because that's the drama. And that's our fortune. Sometimes people say, Baba, you did so well to bring me here and you do, now can you bring my husband and wife and whatever? He can't do it. Can he? If it's not in your fortune, he can't bring you here. We can't bring anybody else that's related to you here. So, let's go back to now, practical spirituality. You are what you are because of your past karma. Right? You are what you are because of your past karma. You will be what you will be because of your present actions. True? True? You've got a blank sheet of paper in which you can now decide what your future life is going to be all about. Okay? But you are stuck with your present. Are you stuck? Are we stuck with our present? Are we stuck? Yes, no, indifferent, don't know. Don't know. You're not stuck. We are not stuck. Right? So, we can elevate if we can settle our past karmic accounts. Right? The more you settle, the more you elevate. Right? Become lighter, settle your karmic account, so that all the negative ones you can get rid of and keep all the positive ones. Okay? So, we all know what's the way in which we can solve our karmic accounts, past karmic accounts. One is we pay for it. Not very nice way. Second is, Baba says, in this life, if you go and sit in Baba's room and tell me all your sins of this past, half will be forgiven. Right? Have everybody done that, by the way? It's a freebie. It's for, doesn't cost you anything. Absolutely free. Half of all your karmic accounts of this birth can be settled. Go and sit in front of Baba, in Baba's room. Go through. It took me 2 4-hour sessions, by the way. So, that's another way. Okay? Third. Go to the person to whom you have given sorrow and make amends. Third way. Fourth. Fourth way. Who plays Monopoly? Who has played Monopoly? You play, oh, so many. So, when you play Monopoly, there is one card there that if you land in jail, you get a get out of jail free card. You can get out of jail free. Do you remember that card? Right? If you throw a die and it lands you in jail, you give that card and say, I'm free. Right? Has Baba given you such a get out of jail card? Free? Free? Yes? What is that? Very good. So we are the only ones, and only in the confluence age have been given this privilege to get out of jail free. Okay? The more you remember, the more you can use that card and get out of jail free. Okay, so that's what we need to use. I don't think we use that as often as we should. Me including, by the way. I think that, you know, we need to remind each other and remind, because now, the state of the world is clear to all of us. Right? All the players who are going to conduct the last play is in place. Right? The Americans have got Donald Trump in place. You've got Putin in place. Got the North Korean in place. You've got the Turkish man in place. The Iranian. Look at all over the world. All the warmongers, all the thieves and all the liars and all the cheats are in place. They are in place. So, how long will we wait before we say there is still time? It's a little more time. I still have time. Before the end, I will do it. Right? Today's Murli Baba is reminding us again. For you, if you die tomorrow, the world is finished. Right? You will go back in your mommy's, in your womb, and then you will be not old enough to be able to do anything before the end. So for you, the world will be finished. And we can still keep on waiting and say there's still time. Okay? So we need to remind ourselves that I need to use that get out of jail card. I need to do it now. Okay? This is absolutely practical. Because I want to improve the quality of my life, this one, and also the future one. You know, because Baba reminds us very often that you can now decide your next 21 births, the quality of that. Right? Because we are seeing now, you've all noticed that service is so much easier now. You know, people, Brahma Kumaris have more credibility now. People are less and less scared of the Brahma Kumaris. When Baba's meetings takes place, there are a lot more people who are coming, more than half of whom are new, first-timers. Right? All of these people are part of 330 million. Most of them. No, all. I shouldn't say all. But most of them. And quite a lot of them will then be born in the Silver Age, towards the end of the Silver Age, beginning of the Copper Age. Right? Do you think they will be following all dharanas? These 330 million? Do you think? Baba said, lots of them who listen to a little knowledge will still come into Satyu or Treta, Silver Age. Maid servants then, because Baba is building a kingdom. It's people of all levels. The whole hierarchy is going to be there. Where do we want to be? We certainly don't want to be one of the 330 million. Do we? We are all reminded of the hierarchy. 8, 100, 16,000, 900,000, 330 million. Then there are no sections, although Baba explains to us what those sections are going to be. So, we want to elevate. We want to make sure that we do it in time. It's the easiest thing in the world for us to do, to stay in remembrance, to go on this pilgrimage. Are you watching what's happening right now in India? The Kumbh Mela is taking place. Are you watching? Kumbh Mela. They expect between 150 and 200 million people that will come. 150 to 200 million people will come to that Kumbh Mela. And the Kumbh Mela is the meeting of the three rivers eventually into the ocean. What does it signify? What does it signify? Our meeting with God. That is the real story. Right? Because everything that we do, in one way or another, is then duplicated on the path of bhakti. Right? In one way or another. Baba says, intoxicate yourself with the knowledge that I'm giving you. What do they do? On Shivratri, they all drink bhang and they are all blotto. You cannot take a taxi on that day because they are all drunk. They have intoxicated themselves with bhang. Right? It's a bhang, is a drug. They even give it to little kids. They boil big, big things like that. Color yourself with the knowledge. And then they give colors to each other, holy. So many things like that. We tie a rakhi, and rakhi is that we commit to purity. We commit ourselves to God that we shall remain pure. And then this is duplicated. Then the Brahmin priests do it. Not us Brahmins, the other Brahmin. Now the Brahmin, PK, Brahmin Shaktis are doing it. Then the Brahmins, the physical Brahmins start to do it. Right? Then the brothers start to do it to their sister. And that is supposed to be that the brother assures her of protection. It changes. But that's what he... The Sikh community wears a band constantly here. Ask them, why do you wear it? Why do you wear it? They have no idea that this represents purity, our commitment to God, that we shall remain pure, celibate. Okay? So first is that we have already decided the level at which we are and we are going to remain, because we are in the confluence age. All the rest are in the iron age. They have no idea what is going on. But we too were in the iron age. We were orphans. Baba said, I picked you up. You were orphans looking around. We were all dirty and we were doing so many bad things and giving sorrow to each other and dirtying ourselves and diseased and all of those. And then Baba picked us up and he cleaned us up and he gave us knowledge and he pointed us in the right direction and said, I will take you home. Can you imagine? All those kids became dirty and scratched each other and became diseased and naughty and built so much sorrow amongst themselves. And then Baba, as the mother would, comes, picks us all up, cleans us up, and takes us home. Promises he will take us home. What is our job now? Is to find the other orphans and introduce him or her to the Father. That's our job. We introduce an orphan to the Father. Baba says, first give my introduction. Then you don't need to explain to the orphan what to do and to the Father what to do. You need to get the two together. And then they will decide what is to happen. But it's our job. More and more and more and more, we need to continue to do this. Introduce God. Last 3-4 years ago, Baba ran a whole season in saying, now you can tell the world I'm here. You can announce me. You can say I'm here. But we are a little bit scared. Because if we go out there and tell people that 10, 11 times a year on a mountain in Rajasthan, God comes in a little woman, called Dadi Gulzar, that they will think we are nuts. Isn't it? Are we a little bit afraid or a lot afraid? We have to be subtle, but we have to give this message. We have to give it in whichever subtle way possible, but we have to tell the world that God is here. We have to touch people and see if they will light up. That's our job. If you touch 100, how many will light up? Maybe one, maybe none. Because if in the final analysis, 330 million are to be BKs, are to be in Satyug, and the final figure of the world population may be 7.5 billion, 8.5 billion. So that means 300 million is about 3%, 4% of the total. We'll go to Satyug. We'll go to Satyug until the end of the Silver Age. Okay? Is it practical? Is it possible that we can do that? We can go and give this message to a few every day? Yeah? Hard. Is it hard? We have to do. That's what we need to do. Because, well, all the players are in place. Baba said this to us more than once, that everything waits for you now to complete. Either you complete by bringing the others, or you complete by finishing what we need to do to settle our karmic accounts. One way or another. Because if we don't settle it with the get out of jail free card, you'll have to settle it by payment. But one way or another, you have to settle it. And that's what we are waiting for now. Okay? Third practical thing that we need to do is trust. You know, I told you that I've had lots and lots of examples of God doing deals with me. Baba says, I see you very often struggling on your own, but I can't help you. Because you think you can manage fine on your own. So I leave you on your own. I let you struggle. Can't help you. But if you combine, because we are in the confluence age, we are the only ones that has connection to God. We know what God looks like. We know where He lives. We know how to connect with Him. We know how to go to the source to get the power. Right? Nobody else can do that. We spent also a lifetime, many lifetimes, looking for Him, and yet we were praying to Him, but we achieved nothing. God says you only kept on going down in the process. You never elevated because you didn't know Him. God says, I come myself, I introduce myself to you, and I tell you, I am the one. I am God. And that no other human being can be God. Only I am the one. This is what I look like. This is what you look like. This is how you can connect with me. This is how I live. This is how you can remain combined with me. And this is how I can become your partner. Clear? This is not subject to more thinking and more definition, clarity and more anything. God Himself has come and told us, this is me, this is what I look like, this is how I can be combined with you. In the confluence age, this is how you can plan with me and I can be your companion. If you use me. Okay? I keep telling you that I have a planning intellect. But God has organized my life. And many people that know me will tell you that that is how it is. Because He has organized my life in such a way that I am completely and totally free. I'm free of my children, so they are not pulling on me. My children are not pulling on me. I'm not pulling on them. They are all living in different parts of the world, all quite happy and getting on with their lives. I am, Moni just told you, chairing lots and lots of companies. But I have no contract with them. I can walk away in 1 minute. I'm completely free from that point of view. I am able to spend more and more time in doing Future of Power or in doing South Africa, in doing everything. Because step by step by step by step, as I saw that God was organizing my entire life, I began to trust Him more and more to be able to do it. And I keep saying, if I had sat down with my planning intellect all those years ago and planned my life, I could never have planned it the way it has now been planned. I could not have done it. But what we often not do is we trust, but not 100%. Will He really do it? Can I absolutely trust? Or is there a leakage somewhere where I think I still need to have some protection in my own hands so that just in case He doesn't do it, then I can step in and do it myself? It has happened because in the beginning I did not trust, but slowly as I began to trust and more of my life began to be organized by Him. And I kept thinking, I can never do this. I could never have planned this the way in which it has turned out. And this is not ego. What I'm now telling you is not ego. I'm just telling you that the way in which it has been organized is such that I look back and think, wow, I could never have done this. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because that's how each one of us need to make Him our partner, combined with us in everything that we do, so that whatever happens, it is Karan Karavanhar who is helping us do what we want to do. But if you want Karan Karavanhar to do it, you first of all have to offer your intellect to Him so that He can conduct it. And unless we get more and more confidence, and I promise you, no businessman is 100% trusting anybody else, including God. And that included me. But it just so happened that as I started to do a little, I began to see the evidence of what He can do compared to what I can do. And as I began to then trust Him more and more and more, then He was able to organize it in a much greater fashion and to do it in a way that I thought, wow, I could never have done this if I would have planned it myself. So I think we need that element, first of all, to be combined. We need to take a decision and say, before I do anything major, before I do anything important, I will take a minute to be combined with him and then take that decision. That's not complicated. Is it complicated? I need to be plugged in. I need to switch it on to the source of power. I need to have that power. And once I have that source of power, I'm in a position then to take whatever decisions or not to take. You know, we sometimes complicate things by saying, I need to be Trikaldarshi, I need to be this, I'm Madhyajiva, I need to... all of those complicated words. But at the end of the day, what's important is that I need to be in a state of soul consciousness where I can combine with the powerhouse and come together before I decide on anything that's important. Finished. Everything else will follow. And this is practical. This is, if I decide that today, that I will not take any important decisions without going into soul consciousness, combining with Baba, and then take that decision, then no decision of mine will be wrong. No decision will be where I have doubts. And I will continue to prosper. Right? Because we have the connection. You know, if you go to Israel and you are Jewish, then they tell you that here, when we want to combine with God, when we want to get in touch with God, it's a local call here. It's not STD. Not an international call. Because God is just here, locally available to us. But that is just to say, we have that connection with God. We know that it's a local call for us. That we don't have to have a major do in order to connect with God. We know because He introduced Himself to us. So we know who He is. We know how to connect. And therefore that is one decision that we need to take today. That I will not, being completely practical, do anything of importance without going into soul consciousness and without connecting with God. And then I will take whatever decision that I need to do. Okay? Right. Apart from everything else, I also need to put my thinking process in control of me. I need to control my thoughts. Right? Again, 2-3 seasons ago, Baba spent a whole season in telling us, stop waste thoughts. Why? Because waste thoughts cause damage. Waste thoughts get to where whoever you are thinking about. If you are thinking negatively about somebody, that thought has got to that person. And a wall has started to build between you and that person. Without ever meeting or phoning or talking, that wall has started. No reason. And you are doing damage. Fortunately, the opposite is also true. So if you have got a bad relationship with somebody, by giving thoughts of love or peace, you can also bring that wall down. But waste is usually not that. If you are thinking waste or negative, that's doing damage. If you are thinking positive and giving thoughts of peace or love, then you are bringing that wall down against anybody. that you have bad relationship with. That is what traffic control is all about, right? Why do we do traffic control? It is the control of the traffic of your thoughts. I need to think about what I'm thinking about. Is it vicious? Is it negative? Is it waste? Is it neutral? Or is it positive? And whatever it is, unless it is neutral or positive, I need to change it. That is what traffic control is. That I think about what I'm thinking about, and then I change that. And I want to constantly do that. Constantly want to do traffic control. Throughout the day, I want to do this. What am I thinking about? Because the thought will eventually lead you to action. If you think it will stop at the thought, it will not. It will make you act. So that's why we need to control the thoughts. Because it will come in one way or another into action which we don't want. Okay. Is it time? Okay. Oh, do I have my chart? No, it's in here. Okay, this is my chart. It's a bit messy, but this is a 10-day chart. I know that you can't read it very well. But on this side are all the things that I'm focusing on in that 10-day period. So I give myself points. You know, right now I'm focusing on Sandhyavela, for example. So I'm giving myself 150 points for doing Sandhyavela on time. Right? So like that, if I give myself negative, if I'm angry, for any reason, even in here, so at the end of each day, I see I've out of 2,000 points, how many have I given me? So I know what percentage I'm doing.
You say Amritvela.
Sandhyavela is evening. I also have Sandhyavela, yeah. It's a evening meditation is what I'm focusing on right now. Okay? So, like that. Did I do a selfless act today, for example? Then I get a positive for that. Yeah. So like that, I whatever I want to focus on, and this is 10 days, so the dates are on the top here. So every 10 days, then I change and say the next 10 days, what do I want to focus on? And depending, if I've not been successful, then I repeat. In something that I'm not. You see that sometimes I yellow it because I want to focus on those in the next week. So I keep running these, as you see, lots and lots of them, but every 10 days, so I have a whole year in here. So I can look back and say, which ones did I succeed with, which one I did not. Okay? I also do locking things here as well. You know, so here you will see that I have stretching exercises. I'm focusing on writing here. So yeah, I give myself a point if I did write on that day. I'm learning how to play the violin, so I give myself some points over there, and so on. So you don't need to be all of it entirely spiritual. You can also focus on non-spiritual. Yeah? Okay. Oh, what? She's got all my secrets. Yes, I think that Baba has said more and more that you have to settle all your, what's the word for it? Not karmic account. Conflicts, yeah. You have to resolve all your conflicts. And I think that in order to resolve that, you have to think about all the people worldwide with whom you have a conflict. Or they have a conflict. I'm not thinking so much, if they have a conflict, we don't probably know that always. But if we have a conflict with somebody, then I found a list of 15 people when I sat down quietly that I had conflicts with. And I was telling Moni yesterday that I brought it down to 11. But we need to zero it. We need to totally zero it. So I'll give you an example. I had, when I was very young, between 7 and 10, I was being beaten by an uncle of mine quite a lot. And so as I grew up, I always had this thing about him. I could not let go, could not forgive him. And eventually, he was living somewhere in Canada, and apparently I heard that he was going through a lot of physical ailments and problems and so on. Then I thought, I wonder if it's me that's holding, it's causing him all that. And so one day I sat down and I sort of said, okay, whatever has happened, I need to forgive and let go. Now, forgiving and letting go is not so much, it's important for them, of course, but it's more important for us because it's also holding us back. It's holding our progress. It's holding our focus and, you know, everything that's positive for us. So I think it's important that each one of us should sit and say, I need to resolve all my conflicts. So once you do that, then the names will start to come. And you need to be ruthlessly honest with yourself. And don't show that list to anybody. It's only for you. And then you start settling one after another. You need to either settle it physically, but more importantly, that you need to settle it here. That's what's important. And then you need to forgive and let go. And then 5 minutes after Amritvela, you spend time in sending good vibrations. As Brahmins, you are also heads of your families. Whether you are young or old is not material. You are Brahmins. You have connection with God. So you are the head of your family. And you need to give positive vibrations to all of them each day. Because all of them need protection. You have protection. They are completely naked out there in that world against everything. They have no way in which to protect themselves. You are the one that can give them protection. Don't think somebody else will do it. Nobody else can do it. Only you can do it. So spend that 5 minutes after Amritvela, send vibrations of peace, love, and protection to each member of your family. Okay? Do that also for souls who are dead. Nobody else will take care of them. Okay? You are not in woo-woo land now. Don't think like that. If they are dead, it means they are still souls, they still exist. You still have to send the vibrations to them. Okay? So remember to do that as well. Right. Any other questions?
Maybe people have questions how to live this practically. With children, with business, with going to work, getting up for Amrit Vela when you've got a very busy life. You need translation, sisters here? Yeah, sister, translation? It's a big group from Vietnam.
Ah, right.
Vâng, cảm ơn anh rất là nhiều cái chủ đề mà anh là đại diện cho doanh nhân. Tôi là một người đến với Baba, sau đó thì trở thành doanh nhân. Trong 10 năm qua, thì cái điều mà tôi áy náy nhất là cứ luôn luôn áy náy là Baba cứ nói rằng là con không tham lam. Thật ra khi tôi làm những cái công việc kinh doanh thì tôi thường hay nghĩ đến rằng là tôi đang tạo ra cái niềm hạnh phúc cho mọi người. Bởi vì tôi biết một điều duy nhất rằng là khi mà tôi ra đi thì không còn gì cả, người Việt Nam nói rằng là cái hạt nút vẫn để lại và chỉ để cái đức hạnh mà thôi. Sáng nay thì ba cũng nói rằng là con đừng bao giờ nói với hỏi công việc kinh doanh với ba. Và tôi thì cũng không bao giờ xin ba rằng là con làm công việc kinh doanh, mà những cái điều anh nói thì tôi cũng đã thực hiện cả 3-4 năm nay rồi, về việc mà mâu thuẫn, về những cái gỡ chúc lành này. Nhưng cái điều mà bây giờ tôi cần hỏi rằng là thú vị nhất là anh nói rằng là mỗi hôm qua tôi cũng được nhận từ Anatam về cái thông điệp hòa tan với ba trước khi hỏi một điều gì về kinh doanh. Và cái điều này anh có thể chia sẻ rõ hơn, bởi vì hiện nay để...
Is somebody going to translate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Điều này rất là cần thiết, bởi vì tôi cũng là trong tất cả các hội doanh nghiệp ở Việt Nam. Cũng rất là mong muốn cho tất cả những doanh nhân trong các công ty, họ cũng là những người thường rất là kế hoạch thời gian. Và khi mà càng kế hoạch thì họ càng bị gặp nhiều rắc rối. Bởi vì cái sự mà chi tiết đấy, tôi cũng thường nói là buông bỏ đi. Và anh hãy chia sẻ rõ để tôi có thể giúp đỡ những cho chính tôi và cho mọi người.
It's a long story, so can I just summarize? She came to Baba and she has been doing business for 10 years. What you have shared, she has also practiced, and she really appreciates all of your sharing. She has a question. When we plan, sometimes we also stuck with the planning. And right now, she
sometimes we called it closer to yeah.
Yeah. When we plan too details, sometimes we are stuck. And she is one of the members of the Association of Business Women and Gentlemen. Can you please share how you do that in your actual life so that we can learn, and she also want to help other people in Vietnam? Thank you.
So the question is how do you
plan?
How do you surmount? What's
plan?
How do you?
Because you say that you have a planning intellect, and we would like to learn more about how you actually carry out that.
I haven't understood that.
Yeah.
Planning her business life.
When we plan to do something, normally we will make a plan. But Baba says that you know you don't need to plan.
You don't need to plan. Is that what Baba is saying? No.
Đừng nói về kế hoạch kinh doanh.
Okay, so she's looking for ways in which she can plan with Baba.
Yeah. So could you please share your what you actually did as a businessman through your planning?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was a much longer question. That's good. That's good. First of all, that when we are business people, as soon as you become a Brahmin, a BK, you know, there are lots and lots of things which you used to do before which you can't do anymore. Right? I think that's clear. We cannot, for example, continue to give bribery and corruption anymore. We cannot do things like that. Okay? That should be clear to us that whatever we do, we have to do what is right because we stand for the truth. So we cannot plan with Baba and say we are doing something which is crooked. We can't do that. Second, is that, as I said, I very often sit with Baba before an important meeting and work out what is it that I'm going to do. And very often, your intellect is touched as to what you should do. You should do it with full faith, and when you do it with that soul consciousness connected to Baba, before you take the decision, but also in the thinking process. So when you are thinking, you are deciding, is the time where you need to be in connection. And then your intellect will be touched as to what you should do. And then you should go full ahead and do it. Don't have doubts after that. I found that when I have full trust in what that connection is giving me, then that works out to be. If I do it with any doubt, this will or will it not, will it happen, it will, then chances are it will not happen. And then you think that you can't trust God. You must trust Him as long as you are fully in connection and you are not doing something which is wrong. You have to be truthful. You have to do the right thing. And then you be in touch with Baba. It will work out. I promise you. You need to have that strong of faith. Okay? Then it will work. And always do it. Not sometimes do it and sometimes not. Always do it. If you are sitting in a meeting, then if you want to change the tone of that meeting, then you can also give. I give a comfort break. I say, comfort break, 5 minutes. Then I sit and I change the atmosphere of that meeting. I change it. Right? Bring peace. Brings to the atmosphere. I can change that. You can do it. Because you are a big, powerful lamp together with God. And they are little candle. Who can affect who? You are going to affect them. Aren't you? So, that's what you are doing. So, that's what. But you cannot go and say, make God, please make this happen in my favor and against Him. You can't do things like that. You can't do things like that. It must be what is right. God will not help you if you are doing something which is contrary to somebody else and in favor of you. Okay? But if you have this philosophy, you will yourself start to get confidence as things start to happen as you want it. Okay? But have that faith. We are for the truth. You see, when any Brahmin that sits here and talks, not here, but anywhere, we never have notes. Do we have notes? We don't have notes to remind us what to speak. Because we speak from the heart. Out there, if I'm talking in front of the press, my communications head will give me a written and say, please follow this. Because that's not entirely the truth. Is it? Isn't it? Whereas we speak the truth. So we are always saying whatever is right. I quite often don't speak what they tell me. If I say that it's not right, I just contradict it. And then they complain to me afterwards, but it doesn't matter. Because we have to speak the truth. Always the truth. We are for the truth. You are the highest caliber of human beings. Are you not? You are the highest caliber of human beings. You are the family of God. You need to keep this here all the time. Who am I? Who do I belong to? Then, what do I have to do? Once I know, who am I? Who do I belong to? And what do I have to do? Constantly have this in your mind. Constantly. Then you will not go wrong with whatever you do. Okay? You need to have this constantly in your mind. Then you will be successful. The most successful anybody can be. Family of God. Don't become ordinary. We have to remind ourselves constantly not to become ordinary, because then you go from the confluence age into the Iron Age. And we don't belong to the Iron Age anymore. We belong to the confluence age. So we must act like we are in the confluence age. Okay? Plan like that. Come back here and tell us in 1 year how successful you are. Okay.
Oh, there's one question. Is it okay?
Om Shanti. I am quite young in Gyan, only about 2 years, so still infant. And I have something I'm struggling with, and I wonder if you could help me.
Yes.
I have a sort of very academic background, and where the intellect has always been in the forefront. And I'm finding it difficult to move from the intellect to the heart. The intellect is accepting a lot of things, intellectually. But it's that bridge between intellect and heart that I'm finding difficult. So can you help in any way, please? Thank you.
You see, the intellect is in the soul. Right? Intellect is not here in the brain. Right? This is the machine. This is the one that keeps on thinking. The intellect, in Hindi we call it the buddhi, the intellect is the decider of what is right and wrong. Intellect is therefore in the soul. Right? The soul is the one that is the most important and has connection with God. Right? Don't worry so much about shifting from intellect to heart. Worry more about becoming soul conscious that is in touch with God. That is what is important. Then the heart will come. Don't worry for that. If you are soul conscious and in touch with God, then everything else will follow that will be right. Okay? Don't put so much worry into, why am I here and not here? It's fine. It's okay. Soul consciousness is what is important. If you are soul conscious and in touch with God, everything else will follow. That will be right. It will be positive. Okay? It will happen. Don't worry. Don't give too much attention to that. Okay? Just be soul conscious. That you can do easily. That is what you need to practice all the time. I'm a soul. So many people in the Laukik world do not know. You know, Indian women wear this tilak. Ask them, why are you wearing it? They'll tell you it's fashion. They don't know why they are wearing this. You have to tell them why they are wearing it. So we have to be that soul conscious. Without the tilak, we are still reminded of what we are, who we are, who do we belong to. Okay? Right. Done? Yes. She has a question.
I translate for my friend next here. The sister asked, when we do intellectual work, how can we stay bodiless? Can you kindly share?
How can you stay in body consciousness? Is that what she's asking?
Bodiless. Bodiless.
Okay. Just as I explained to him, that your intellect is in the soul. So I don't think that you need to be constantly thinking about the body. You can be bodiless if you are soul conscious. And I think that's what we are. We are constantly soul conscious. And whether you are doing intellectual work or whatever else you are doing, that's fine. As long as you've got that little power coming in here, you are soul conscious, work everything that you want that is intellectual. That's perfectly okay. You will be bodiless. You will be bodiless. It takes practice though. It doesn't just happen overnight. It takes practice, lots and lots of practice. Okay? How old are you in Gyan? How old? 2 years? 2 years. Okay, it'll take practice. But it's good that you are thinking like that. It's good. The thought is right. Absolutely right. Okay? Okay. Om Shanti. We'll spend 1 minute with Baba and then we can break.